Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Welcome to the broadcast, Jesus 911 Soul Patrol, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. We are 10-8 for Jesus, 10-8 for the Blessed Virgin Mary. A lot to talk about today. Paul and myself, we have these long conversations about how to get to heaven, about salvation, so you're going to see us for the next couple of weeks really hammering home the issue of salvation, because, again, as our friend Patrick Coffin says, what else is there? What else is there?
That's right.
Paul, good morning. Welcome.
Thank you, Jess. Nice to be here. 10-8, hey, ready to go.
Paul, today's your feast day in the Catholic Church. Today's the feast day of St. Paul the Apostle, Saul of Tarsus, St. Paul the Apostle. So when I went to Mass today, it was the readings on St. Paul, Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 22. Very beautiful. It just goes to show you what a person on fire for Jesus, what he can do. Because if it wasn't for St. Paul, we probably wouldn't have Christianity today. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Well, listen, God used St. Paul because he saw something in Paul. But I think that whether Paul was here or not, we would have Christianity.
Well, he'd choose somebody else. That. Yeah, he would have chosen somebody else.
Exactly. But I will say this, that, since he is my namesake, I can tell you that, you know, I understand how you can have a zest for God and a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You know, coming, as you know, I took a detour in a Protestant church just for many years, and I had a zeal for God, but it wasn't according to the full knowledge of the truth of the faith. And so, like Paul, I can understand that. I feel small in that regard. You know, it's humbled me to a great extent coming into the church and recognizing that, you know, the diamond that I was seeking was in my backyard all the time.
Wow. Good way of putting it. Hey, today's responsorial psalm at Holy Mass is Psalm 117, so I'm going to pray it. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples. For steadfast is his kindness towards us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever. Alleluia, alleluia. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's just a small snippet of Psalm 117. The Psalms, Paul, there's just so much rich theology there. Redemptive suffering, the power of praising God. It got even little tidbits of salvation history in there. But let's go right to the topic today, Paul. We have a president now who's a baptized Catholic. And I think that Joe Biden is the victim in many respects of postmodernism or basic a post-Christian church. He's you and I have been affected by modernism as well. There's three things that affect us right now: modernism, Marxism, and Masonry. It's affected Christianity for the last 100 years at least. Joe Biden's no different. I mean, think about this. He signed the other day as he was signing some anti-Catholic and anti-Christian legislation. He signed the Mexico City policy, which officially just basically opens now federal dollars from the United States to fund and to pay for abortions around the world. So now Americans, through our federal money, because of Joe Biden, we're going to be paying. You want to have an abortion in Peru? No problem. Send your bill to the United States. Me and Paul Clare will pay for it. You want to have an abortion in Costa Rica? You want to have an abortion in Kenya? No problem. Send your bill over here to Paul Clay and Jess Romero, and our tax dollars will pay for it. He just signed the Mexico City policy. Paul, here's what strikes me. He signed it with a rosary in his pocket because he says he carries a rosary in his pocket all the time. I can just imagine the offense right now in heaven, the blasphemy, the sacrilege that he's committing, signing piece of legislation with a sacramental such as the rosary in his pocket. You got any thoughts on that?
Yes, I do have a few thoughts on that. Listen, I want to know what gives Joe Biden peace of mind to think that he can somehow say that I'm personally against abortion and yet be leading the choir as far for the abortionists. How do you make that connection, Jess? I'm personally against it. However, you know, I do believe that a woman has a right to make her own decisions. That's diabolical, Jess.
Yeah, same. Sister Lucia would call that a diabolical disorientation, and many politicians are diabolically disoriented. Let me share a couple of things that Joe Biden has done as of the moment he became president. His administration suspends new oil and gas drilling permits on federal land. I just read a tweet from Charlie Kirk from TPUSA. He said that 170,000 jobs of people that work in the oil industry are going to vanish in the next few days. 170,000, Paul, young people, you know, probably just starting a family, starting to have children, first mortgage payment, are going to lose their job because, again, he's trying to push this whole electric, we got to go to electric cars and get rid of gas. That's going to, again, that's just day within the first week, 170,000 jobs being compromised. Also, he disbanded what's called Trump's 1776 Project. That's a committee that promotes patriotic education and shows the best of America to our children from kindergarten to college. But Joe Biden wants to push what's called the 1619 Project, which basically says that, you know, America is just a big racist and a slave nation state. And that's the only thing we should focus on is all the negative stuff of America. What do you think about that?
Well, it's Joe Biden is, again, leading the charge for the Green New Deal, right? That was proposed by Congresswoman Cortez, the Green New Deal. And let me tell you something. He's delivering on everything that he claimed that he was going to deliver on, Jess. He's not concerned. As the president of the United States of America, you would think first and foremost he would be, as President Trump was, he would be concerned with the American people and their welfare and their ability to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, you know, good jobs. But nope, not Joe Biden. He's willing to cut those jobs instantaneously. Remember those gas lines back in the 70s, Jess? They're going to come back. For the first time, America was energy independent, but they don't want energy independence for us. What they want is us to consume the type of energy they want us to, and essentially they want to cut us back to the point to where we're almost living in the Stone Ages. That's at the end of their agenda. That's what they want, no doubt about it.
I'll tell you why I believe this is so, Paul, is because, again, liberals, for them, politics is a religion. And also the worship of things, created things like the earth, is a religion. St. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 1. When you stop worshiping the one true God, what happens? You start worshiping the created objects, the creation.
Yes.
And the whole
rather than the creator.
The whole emphasis of communism, socialism, liberalism, progressivism is the fact that Earth is Mother Earth. And boy, oh boy, we've got to save Mother Earth at all cost. And if human beings, by golly, if they're the problem, if their footprint is too large, then we're going to have to find a way to just basically, slim down those margins because we're all in for Mother Earth. We've got to take care of Mother Earth and no matter what happens. And I think that's what's happening here. Again, whereas Catholics, we know that the Bible says that one day the first pope, 2 Peter chapter 3, says the earth will be burned away. It will be melted. It's going to be destroyed entirely by fire. Mm. And so the earth has what I would call an expiration date. But liberals think that the earth is eternal, Paul. For them, seems to be more important than human life itself.
Yes. I'm glad you pointed that out. This is not our home. For us who believe in Jesus, you know, we understand that all this is going to pass away. It's temporary. And therefore, that's why he says, you know, listen, we don't have to cling to things, Jess. We don't have to cling to things in the creation because God knows. Listen, he says, don't worry about it. It's all going to leave. But what I'm going to give you, it hasn't even entered into the imagination of a man's mind, how, you know, the things that he has prepared for us. So by faith, we understand this and we recognize that this earth is, like you said, has an expiration date. At least what we believe is that date might be sooner rather than later. Amen.
You're listening to Jesus 911, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. We're going to be moving into another topic on salvation, all aspects of salvation. That's a fascinating topic because we all want to get to heaven, so we want to get this right. But if you want to read more on the issues that we've been talking about broaching here, just go to my webpage, jesseromero.com or virginmostpowerful.org, and you can read the article that says Biden administration suspends new oil gas drilling permits on federal land. You can read the article, Biden disbands Trump 1776 project, a committee that promoted patriotic education. You can read the article, Biden ends Trump remain in Mexico asylum policy, which is another thing, by the way. Now we're starting to see caravans that are starting to form because they're starting to say Papa Joe is going to open the borders and stuff. And you're going to see. And again, I get the fact that people want to leave certain countries. I know. But the fact is, as Catholics, everything has to be done in order. O-R-D-E-R. Disorder is diabolical. Order is godly. And so when it comes to immigration, I got no problem anybody wanting to come over here. But please, especially if you're Catholics and baptized, we have to do this following the proper protocol, or in biblical theology, we've got to follow right order. Paul?
Amen. Scripture commands us, obey every human institution, obey the law. And guess what? There's no compromise around that, Jess.
That's right. Jesus 911, two retired cops, talking about all things Catholic. Now we're going to talk about our favorite topic, how to get to heaven, salvation, how to get saved.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, two-man car. Hey, God is respecter of no men. The fact of the matter is, everybody gets to heaven the one way, through that narrow door called Jesus Christ. Amen. It doesn't matter if, oh, I was a Speaker of the House, I was a Vice President. It doesn't matter who you are. That's irrelevant. You're saved by grace, not by race and not by rank and not by politics and not by your financial status.
Amen.
And that's what we want to talk about, Paul. Salvation. The goal is to get to heaven. That's always been the goal for us as Catholic Christians, because we know, again, the world is an expiration date. The world one day will be destroyed by fire. That's straight scripture. Okay. Not going to be destroyed by water. That promise God has promised Noah, that won't happen again, but it will be destroyed by fire. I want to share God's word with people, Paul. We'll just go back and forth and just start giving some exegesis. Here's one verse that shows Matthew 19:23, that shows us, again, that heaven isn't like easy believism. And it isn't universal salvation. Let's see what our Lord says. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it will be hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Rich man. Mm-hmm. Not only spiritual, but also literal. Because think about that. A lot of people's money, it impedes them from seeing the clarity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 24, again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, Paul, if I was a millionaire or a rich guy, these verses would make me shudder. They would. Verse 25.
Absolutely.
When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Mm-hmm. 2 points that I'm going to make. Number one, then and even now, I think a lot of people that are CEOs, work for Wall Street, big tech guys, they think, man, I got it in the bag. If there is a God, I'm going to heaven because, you know, I'm rich and I own Facebook and I own Twitter and I own this, that, and the other. And I'm a rich guy, you know, so I deserve it. If there's a heaven, I deserve it. Well, guess what? Then and now, they're wrong. Nobody ever buys their way to heaven. It's all grace. And in fact, if you think you could get to heaven on your own merits, no. The church has always taught we cannot save ourselves from God's grace. So what is God's grace? Let me give you a couple of definitions. In Latin, gratia means God's favor. That's what it means, favor, in Latin. Grace in Greek and in Hebrew means the life of God in you, the power of God, the strength of God. It's a very powerful word. And so as Catholics, it doesn't matter how much money you have in your portfolio, how many degrees you have after your name. Ultimately, it's a work of God's grace. It's a free gift from God. He gives it to us freely through His Son, Jesus Christ. But you can lose it. You can give God your right hand and say, get away from me. I don't want it. Paul?
Yeah. Listen, what jumps out at me is, but with God, all things are possible, Jess. This goes back to the fact that we look at salvation primarily as a process, Jess, whereas, now don't get me wrong. It comes at an instant in time at our baptism.
Amen.
But from that initial grace, we have to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. And people need to kind of wake up and let the sacred scripture, just kind of meditate and just kind of simmer a little bit and understand that, listen, Jess, as you said before, this is arduous. It's not an easy thing. Easy believism is something that has come about through liberalism, and it is a deception. Jesus says, if any man wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. That's not easy, Jess. Pick up his cross, the instrument of death, Jess, and follow me. Yeah.
Let me deploy another one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. It says, do not be ashamed then of testifying to our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but sharing the suffering for the gospel in the power of God, who saved us. So that's a past tense usage of the word, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not in virtue of our works, but in virtue of his own purpose and the grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus ages ago. Two things I would say there. Salvation is spoken of in that instance as a past tense event. That would be the grace of baptism. But also, yes, Salvation is first and foremost by God's grace. It's not our human effort. Let's never forget that. Paul?
Yeah. The difference, and this is just a comment on, not exactly on that verse, Jess, but as in Protestants, as you said before, they believe in what are called the solas, and the battle cry for the Reformation, sola fide, we're saved by faith alone, sola gratia, by grace, through grace, sola Christi, by through Christ, and sola scriptura, by scripture alone, the four solas. And as you know, in the Catholic Church, yes, we go by what's called sola verbum Dei, and which means that we believe that we're saved and that the whole plan of salvation goes according to the word of God alone. And that word comes to us in two different forms, one through sacred tradition and the other one through sacred scripture. And that's that. I just wanted to make that distinction because it will make a lot more sense as to where we're coming from when you understand that the same God that inspired the New Testament writers to give us, the scriptures is inspiring, the church through the magisterium to bring us the correct translation of these things and the correct understanding of these things.
Amen. Mark 16:15, the Bible says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, will be future tense, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Okay, so that's talking about salvation in the future tense. So there's two things you need to do to get to heaven based on the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to believe, and the word believe is a very deep word in the Greek. It means to trust in God, to rely upon God, and to obey God.
Yes.
So the word believe in Greek means actually to obey. That's one of the three definitions. And you have to be baptized. Baptism is not optional. That's essential Christianity according to the Lord Jesus Christ. So baptism and faith save you. Now, if you get baptized as an infant, obviously you have no faith yet. So baptism would precede faith. You'd have to be instructed. Now, if you're an adult believer coming in from paganism to Catholic Christianity, of course you're going to get, you have to make a profession of faith first and then get baptized.
Mm-hmm.
But both are essential for salvation. Paul?
Yeah. When you understand the scriptures, Jess, and you understand that, when we're reading the scriptures, when a non-Catholic Christian looks at the scriptures, sometimes he'll take a verse and he'll build a whole doctrine around a single verse. And we as Catholics, we look at the big picture, right? We look at the, you know, the totality of Scripture. And there's a certain rule that you know, you need to go by. And that rule is you never take something that's unclear in Scripture and build a doctrine around it. And as if it's, you know, the end all. You have to take everything together. And this is the, you know, one of the mistakes that non-Catholic Christians make when they look at the Scriptures. Baptism, as you pointed out, for a person who's an adult already, of course he has to believe and be baptized. Well, he's speaking to adults in context there, you know. Yeah. Obviously, with children, you know, salvation, God saves families. If a child is incapable of believing, God can graft him into the covenant very easily
through mom and dad's faith, and that's the way it happened in the Old Testament.
Amen.
Through the
Amen.
Faith of the patriarch, the children were brought into the family of God, the covenant family of God.
Yes. And, you know, so it's, you know, it's what I'm trying to get at, Jess, is for a long time in my life, you know, I would look at the Scriptures and I would systematize things. You quoted from Louis Burkhoff last week, you know, systematic theology. You can't systematize God. He's a God who reaches his people through a covenant relationship, a sacred family bond. And, you know, we have to get away from the legalism of boom, boom, boom. You know, God is a father to us. And as a father, he interacts with us, you know, in a father-child relationship.
Yeah. The Protestant view, at least the reformers 500 years ago, they had more of the God legal. As judge and legal courtroom scenario
yes.
for salvation, and that we were
yes.
guilty criminals. So it's
yes.
very legalistic, and that's not covenant theology. That's not what God has.
Right.
God has shown himself throughout Scripture to be a father who keeps his promises.
Amen. Scott on.
Amen. Paragraph 977, Paul, right there, the catechism. It says this. Our Lord tied the forgiveness of sins to faith and baptism, going to the whole world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Baptism, the catechism says, is the first and chief sacrament of forgiveness of sins because it unites us with Christ, who died for our sins and rose for our justification, so that we too might walk in newness of life. So the church is telling us, straight from Scripture, baptism is not optional, it's necessary. It's yes. part and parcel. This is the way we enter into the life of God and into the covenant, is through baptism. So it's not something that's optional, that you can wait till you're, you know, an adult and, okay, after I accept Jesus, maybe I'll decide where I'm going to get baptized at. Nope, that's not Scripture.
You mean it's not my personal testimony that, you know, me identifying with Jesus on my own, Jess?
No, that's an act of God. It's God grafting you into the covenant through his act, his decree. Not your human subjectiveness. Oh, I'm going to accept
yes.
God. I'm going to enter the covenant. No, God objectively grafted you in through the sacraments of the church. That's why the
Amen.
Church is called Mother Church, Mater Ecclesia, Mother Church.
Yes.
Paul, you got
yeah,
the
and that's why,
before you?
Yeah, I do. That'd be Luke 7, 47 through 50. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this? Who even forgives sins? He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Wow.
Amen.
Yeah.
My comment on that would be from St. Peter. St.
Yes.
Peter, 1 Peter 4:7, he says, love covers the multitude of sins. We see that.
Amen.
That's exactly what we saw in Luke 7:47. Yep.
Yes. Whoever's forgiven much will love much. And as St. Augustine, he commented on that. He said, we ought to fall over. We ought to fall ever more deeply in love with our Lord, not only because he forgives us our sins, but also because he helps us by means of his grace not to commit them. You know, Jess, I just want to make a quick comment on that. In certain circles of Protestantism, when they see Jesus make a statement like, go and sin no more, you know, they look at that as an impossibility. Jesus is asking you to do something that is completely impossible. Well, it is impossible outside of his grace. We know this, but he definitely expects us to go and sin no more. That's a Amen. Fact.
Fact. Biblical fact. Jesus 911 two-man car. How to get to heaven. Tune in. That's what we're talking about.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, two-man car. Paul, I'm going to tell you, I want to give kudos to the San Francisco Archbishop. His name's Archbishop Corleone. And again, this, you know, a lot of bishops out there realize that they're right now in a hot potato because you have so many Catholic politicians that should be listening to our show, Paul, How to Get to Heaven. Joe Biden yes. should be listening to the yes. show, How to Get to Heaven. And the San Francisco Archbishop, he basically responded to the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and he told her that no Catholic in good conscience can favor abortion. And he actually put her in check. He said, Nancy Pelosi doesn't speak for the Catholic Church. So kudos to Archbishop Corleone, God bless him, for showing yes. that apostolic courage, because you know what he cares about, Paul? He cares about the salvation of her soul and the soul of all the people that he's that she's misleading. And once again, I just hope Cardinal Gregory Wilton would have these, you know, heart-to-heart conversations with Joe Biden, because guess what? That's his parishioner. That's a sheep in his diocese. And Cardinal, Gregory Wilton is, he's in charge of the soul of Joe Biden. And it's pretty yeah. obviously, Paul, just like a lot of us post-Vatican II, Joe Biden has not been properly formed. And so I would yes. invite the president to listen to our program, especially these programs where we talk about issues of salvation. And I say that respectfully yes. because, again, God wills his salvation, not his damnation. God wills the salvation of the whole world. Doesn't mean the whole world's going to be saved, though, Paul.
Yes, Jess, love corrects, and kudos to the Archbishop up in San Francisco for correcting Nancy Pelosi in her error. Her error, by the way, that will send her, that puts her soul in jeopardy.
Yeah, objectively speaking, Paul, you die in mortal yes. sin, you go to hell. I mean, this is just we don't yes. know where she's going to end up, or myself, but objectively speaking, if you're living a life of mortal sin, when you die, you're going to go to hell. And she's an old woman. Yes. She's not young. She's not a
yes, kid. Yes. Yes, and then back to Cardinal Wilton Gregory, the cardinal in Washington D.C. Listen, he's responsible for Joe Biden's soul, like you said. By the way, did he not also promise that he would give Joe Biden Holy Communion? He promised that, right?
Well, he did. He actually did on Sunday.
Well, Jess, well, guess what? He that eateth this bread and drinketh this cup in an unworthily fashion eateth and drinketh condemnation unto himself. Okay. I'm hoping, you know, for sake of the cardinal, that be, you know, when he promised to give Joe Biden communion, it was first, it would be preceded by a good confession.
You're right, Paul, because if not, if the cardinal's giving him his judgment, his condemnation, and the yes. cardinal himself is participating in the condemnation of Joe Biden, if he knowingly continues giving him Holy Communion, knowing that Joe Biden obstinately refuses to submit his intellect and will to the holy teachings of the Catholic Church as given to us by Verbum Dei, the Word of God.
Yes, yes. And Jess, it's high time that some of our leaders in the church, our bishops, you know, rose up and boldly proclaim the things that you're talking about right now, because this is what draws people to the church. Bold leadership that proclaims the truth. Christ was not timid. Christ was not, he didn't mince words. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And guess what? The people flocked to him.
Paul, and I'm going to tell you, if there's one set of people that our blessed Lord had a problem with, it was the political establishment.
Mm. The ones that claim to know.
he didn't have a problem with the sinners, Paul. He loved sinners. Yes. Like the rank and file Mary Magdalene's, the drunkards, the blue collar sinners on the street that, you know, were basically living from week to week.
Yes.
He loved them. He reached out to them. But I'll tell you who he had a problem with.
Yes.
Is those people that should have known, they were educated, they knew the law, they were the political shot callers, and it was these people that our Lord Jesus Christ, he basically read the riot act to them.
Right. Now, to be fair, Israel was a theocracy, right? God was, and, you know, there was no separation of church and state in Israel, but nonetheless, to whom much is given, much is required. And just by virtue of the fact that we talked about that Joe Biden has been a lifelong Catholic who has rosary beads in his pocket as he, you know, signs documents, basically.
He put his hand on the Bible at the inauguration, put his hand on the Bible.
Exactly. And then basically, you know, in signing his new executive orders, like you said, he's committing some of these unborn children, even from foreign countries, to death. That's a sad, sad thing, and it's a scary thing because. Well,
I'll tell you what's scary. When I saw him put his hand in the Bible, inaugurations. You know what that reminded me of, and in fact, knowing the fact that he opposes the biblical worldview of the Catholic Church when it comes to the life issues and the issues on marriage.
Yeah.
To me, it reminded me of this. It reminded me of Uzzah touching the Ark of the Covenant and God struck him dead. To me, because remember, God dwells in the Word of God. Okay. The Word of God, God dwells within his Word. And so him putting his hand on the Holy Bible and immediately doing something completely opposite to where the Word of God teaches, to me, that's like Uzzah putting his hand on the Ark.
Oh, yeah, the death sentence.
Yeah, he's bringing a death sentence to himself. Joe Biden, what he objectively did, he put his hand on the Ark in written form, and he's going to do something altogether different. So his profane hands are touching something holy. Paul, God will not be mocked. That was a mockery of God. And I just hope this man comes to his senses and a profound metanoia upon conversion before the Lord calls him home, because he's no spring chicken.
No, he's no spring chicken. But Jess, it seems to me, based on the things that we know, things that were reported in the news on how he used his position as vice president, to allow his son to go build wealth. And, you know, listen, people don't ask the question, but you don't end up being a lifelong politician and be a multimillionaire, Jess. Politicians, last I checked, they make about as much as a deputy sheriff in Los Angeles County, you know, maybe a sergeant, maybe a lieutenant, but they're in that ballpark, you know, and I'm far from a multimillionaire. Okay. And so when you have a guy who's been over 40 years in politics and he's filthy rich and his son is filthy rich, if that doesn't raise a few eyebrows, I don't know what does, but it just goes to show you a mindset. It just goes to show you, when you oppose God, love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, right? Or lay not your treasure up on earth, Jess, where thieves break in and steal and moth and rust destroy, but lay your treasure up in heaven where thieves do not break in and steal and moth and rust do not destroy. His priorities are not heaven, bottom line, and we need to pray for President Joe Biden.
I do every day, so nobody can criticize me. Every day in my rosary, I pray for his conversion. Going back to scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 8. You want to deploy that verse, Paul?
Ephesians 2, 4 through 8. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us sit with him in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God.
The last six words said it all. So what is salvation? It is the gift of God. There it is. Those last six words give the Catholic position on salvation. It's a gift, but a gift can be squandered. Somebody can give you a gift, and you can get it and throw it in the trash can and say, I don't want it. Take it back.
It can be refused, right? You can refuse a gift, Jess, you know? And by the way, it just goes to show you that, yes, we as Catholics, we don't believe in working our way to heaven. A gift is freely, it's freely given. Yeah. And God gave, salvation is freely given. I like that when we were looking and talking about the difference between understanding that God has made us a part of his family. And when a child does his chores around the house, it's not the same as paying the gardener a salary for, for mowing your lawn. There's a big difference. And the work that we do is out of love. It's predicated on love, predicated on obedience, understanding my relationship as a child, as a son to my father. That's where our obedience stems from.
And that's the understanding of the covenant. And that's why Jesus Christ says in the Last Supper, this is a new and eternal covenant, a sacred family bond. That's what binds us together. This last verse, Paul, that you quoted, you see clearly that we receive the initial grace of justification when we're baptized. That's a reference to that verse, Ephesians 2:4-8. That's the way the Catholic Church has exegeted that passage. That the grace of justification comes to us at baptism. And if somebody wants to read further on that, you can go to the Catechism, paragraph 1992, 1997, and 2003. So that past tense verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 8, that past tense verse on salvation is a reference to the sacrament of baptism. Paul, to a salvation as a narrow path. It's not a wide road like most Americans think. You want to share the verse?
Sure. I like what you said before, Jess, when you called Jesus, when you said, through the narrow door, you have to enter through the narrow door. Jesus said, I am the door, right? Salvation is the narrow path. Luke 13, 22 through 25. He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able.
Hold that thought. Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay, talking about how to get to heaven. Jesus is a door, and the church and his gospel are that narrow path. Stick around. Good stuff. Good Bible study with two cops here.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Brief reminder, the month of January for Catholics throughout the world, the church calls us in the entire month of January to focus and say the name of the holy name of Jesus throughout the day. Just find any single excuse to say the sweet name of Jesus throughout the day. Just project it into the air, project it back to God the Father through your mind, through your mouth. And just let the holy name of Jesus throughout the day become like honey on your lips. The name of Jesus, let it become like that hymn in your heart, that melody at midnight, and that sweet song in the storm of life. Say the name of Jesus throughout the day and offer back to God the Father as a sweet aroma. Paul?
Amen. There's no name under heaven and earth that men must be saved, save Christ Jesus the righteous, Jess. Yes, that's like you said, it's like honey on our lips. I love that. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
What a comforting. It's just so comforting to say that. I mean, I could be surrounded by a pack of pit bulls or terrorists and stuff, and you know what? If I'm saying that name, Paul, that's the only thing that's going to bring me comfort.
Yes, yes. Like St. Faustina said, Jesus, I trust in you. That's Jesus, right. I trust in you.
That word should be burned in the heart of every Catholic, especially right now. Right. Amen. Now, we've got to just bump up our prayer life and our faith life and our sacramental life. Paul, talking Amen. About salvation as a narrow path, you were sharing a verse.
Yes, I'll back it up a little bit. Strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the householder has risen up and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. He will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Wow. Amen.
Basically, salvation, Paul, as I understand it, based on God's word, is a call to follow that narrow path. And C.S. Lewis said, he says, most of the world is running in one direction. Make sure you're running in the opposite direction.
Amen. We need to swim. We need to swim against the tide, Jess. like those spawning salmon, you know?
Yeah. Those salmon. That's essentially an example of the Christian life.
Yes.
Because Venerable Fulton Sheen he used to say that he says even corpses flow down the river.
Okay? That's right. That's right. They go with the flow.
Could go down the river. So, yeah, if you're going with the flow, you're probably in the wrong direction. Yes. You're on your way to hell. And see, what's the flow? Oh, yeah. Pornography, LGBT, transgender,
yes,
medical
yes,
marijuana,
the flow of the world,
fornication, adultery, violence, man, get your way by violence,
the highway
big government,
to hell.
totalitarianism, socialism. Yes. Yes. I mean, that's the world right there. And if you're following, and Paul, what's sad is that our Joe Biden, the president now, he follows the world. And I hope and pray that through the prayers of Catholics and non-Catholics, that in some way, shape, or form, he doesn't harden his heart like Pharaoh and one day come to repentance and actually become a great president and be the sword of God here upon earth. It could happen. It could happen. Yes. With God, all things are possible.
That's right. Listen, Jess, back to that idea of a salmon swimming upstream. You know, those salmon, they have a purpose in mind. And what is their purpose? It is to reproduce, right? That's to go back and reproduce. And many of them, they die in that process. They're doing everything in their power, giving up their very lives in order to reproduce. And like you said, that speaks to the Christian life. You know, God called us to go out and to make disciples of men. And guess what? Give our lives as Christ gave his life in that process. That's a great example. I'm glad you said that as far as, you know, an example for the, you know, of a Christian life, because it really speaks to that.
That's right. Here's a commentary from Jose Maria Escriva. He's the founder of Opus Dei. He said, a Christian struggle must be unceasing. For interior life consists in beginning and beginning again. This prevents us from proudly thinking that we are already perfect. It is inevitable that we should meet difficulties on our way. If we did not come up against obstacles, we would not be creatures of flesh and blood. We will always have passions which pull us downwards. We will always have to defend ourselves against more or less self-defeating urges, close quote, St. Maria Escriva. Pray for us. Good words. That's the struggle of the Christian life. He nailed it right there, Paul.
Yes. Listen, I'm reminded of a verse as I listen to you, Jess. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. You know, listen, God's mercies are new every morning. And guess what? If his mercies are new every morning, it's because we need those mercies. You know, Jess, we need mercy. Mercy is holding back punishment, not giving us what we deserve. You know, so Saint Jose Maria Escriva, he nailed it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let me share the catechism here, Paul, 2053, because In this section of the Catechism, it quotes a lot of scripture, but it shows that salvation requires obedience to God's law. So that, again, we have to fight against, as Jose Maria Escriva said, our self-defeating urges. We have to fight against that flesh and blood, those downward passions. The Catechism says, 2053, to this first reply, Jesus adds a second: if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me, Matthew 19:21. This reply does not do away with the first. Following Jesus Christ involves keeping the commandments. The law has not been abolished, Matthew 5:17, but rather, man is invited to rediscover in the person of his master, who is its perfect fulfillment. Mm. In the three synoptic gospels, Jesus calls to the rich young man to follow him in the obedience of a disciple and the observance of the commandments, is joined to the call to poverty and chastity, Matthew 19. The evangelical counsels are inseparable from the commandments. In other words, when we're called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, there's also placed upon us a call to change, and that change is called metanoia. Meta means change. Noia means mind. It means change your mind. What does that mean? Put on the mind of Christ. What does that mean? As the angels do, look at God, Matthew 18. Look at God. That's a conversion. And give your back to the world. That's a conversion. Give your back to this corrupt, fallen world.
Yes.
And look at God. What do the angels do? They look at God. What did demons do in the beginning of their creation when they rebelled? They gave their back to God. We're called to give our back to Satan and to the world, and we're called to look at God like the angels. Amen. That's called metanoia.
Yes, that's where we get the word metamorphosis, right? Just a change has to take place. Meta, to change.
Well, and that's why God gave it. God didn't give us the commandments to mess up our lives and say, like, okay, I'm going to make your life boring. No.
Yeah.
You know what commandments are? These are basically family chores. This is how you grow up in the household of God. But they're also protective measures by God, because it's like a freeway. You know, we have lanes on a freeway. Stay on your lane. We have guardrails on a freeway. Don't exceed the guardrails. You're going to go out. These are things to keep us in our lane so that we can stay safe and get to heaven.
Amen. They're opportunities of love, Jess, the commandments. You know, they're not burdensome. They're up. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. You see, obedience is a byproduct of love. And you're right. God, you know, so when we look at a commandment, rather than look at it as being restrictive or somehow God wants to ruin my fun, oh no, quite the contrary. This is an opportunity for you to show God how much you love him, because to know him is to love him and to love his commandments.
Amen. Paul, can you share one more verse before we wrap it up for today? You got one verse up there, one more?
Yeah, let's go with 1 Peter 4:17-19. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us,
man,
what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous man is scarcely saved, where will the impious and sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will do right and entrust their souls to a faithful creator. Wow.
That's talking about us right now, Paul. This is us right now. This is the church militant right now.
Judgment
has started in the household of God. Now it's starting upon the rest of the earth. It started in the household of God in 2002.
When
the sexual scandals in the Catholic Church erupted like a volcano.
That's
and now
right.
The rest of the world, Paul, there's a judgment falling upon the rest of the earth.
That's
right. And again, it's medicinal. God's judgments are medicinal. But what do we have to do? We got to persevere in obedience and in love in order to be saved. Salvation isn't just, okay, I said a prayer, you know, 30 years ago. I wrote it down in my Bible on this day. But you know, I've been walking like a wicked and a wretched man ever since. No. Okay.
No.
It's a call to obedience. It's a call of metanoia. It's a call of love. Find any excuse to love God and love your neighbor. That's the way we're going to be saved in and through Christ, Paul.
Yeah. And what did we just hear in sacred scripture? If the righteous man is scarcely saved. Did you hear that, Jess?
Universal salvation does not.
No. Universal salvation is out the window, along with easy believism, out the window. Because if all I had to do was pray a prayer at a moment in time, then guess what? The scriptures would declare that that righteous men are saved abundantly. If you know the whole idea in the error that Protestants make, they simply say, hey, I'm leaning, and they appear to take the high road, Jess. I'm leaning on the righteousness of Christ. I'm clothed in his righteousness, without understanding that, no, they're called to emulate Christ as well. When Christ makes us part of his body, then he transforms us into truly sons and daughters.
Amen. Jesus 911, if you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, be notified, and share this show with others. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics. You got two retired cops that love the Lord, love Our Lady. We're 10-7. We're out. See you next Christ Time, Saves Christ channel. God bless you. Keep the faith. Pray your rosary. Read your Bible. Get sacramental. Get prayed up and get church done.